It's a classic scene. Think of it. There's a little kid doing something that they are not supposed to be doing. So they're sneaking around their house. They're somewhere they're not supposed to be. And all of a sudden, someone says, and again, this is no one in particular. This scene has occurred many, many, many times throughout movies, books, you name it. This has happened, and probably in our real lives as well. Someone stops and said, "Who's there?" And the little kid, afraid, goes, "No," and changes their voice to a squeaky little voice or a very low voice that makes them unrecognizable to the one who discovered them. Of course, the little kid is always discovered in the end and sent back to where they are meant to be and what they are meant to be doing. However, in our Parsha this week, we have a very similar circumstance. However, the perpetrator is not discovered until much later on. If we look in the first source, the source sheet is in the chat. If we look at the first source, we are in Bereishis Parak Chaf Zayin. Vayigash Yaakov al Yitzchak Aviv. Yaakov approaches Yitzchak, his father. Vayimishayhu, and he reaches out and feels him. Vayomer hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, v'hayadayim, the hands are the hands of Esav. What brought us to this moment? Yaakov and Esav had grown, Yitzchak had aged, and Yitzchak felt that the end of his life was approaching. And before the end of his life, he wanted to make sure to bless his sons. He wanted to pass down the birthright, the Bechora blessing. So he calls in Esav and he says to Esav, "Please go out, prepare for me a meal." We know that Esav was the Ish Sayid. He was a man of hunting. So he said, "Please go out, hunt for me, bring me back, prepare me a meal. When I am satiated and full, I am going to bless you with the Bechora blessing. I am going to give you the blessing that is entitled to you as the firstborn." So Esav heads out for the field. Though Rivka has overheard what Yitzchak has said to Esav, and Rivka interjects and runs over to her son Yaakov and says, "Yaakov, we have plans for today." She says, "Yaakov, I want you to go out to the field as well. I want you to hunt an animal. I want you to bring it in. I will prepare it and I will dress you up. We will put you in Esav's clothing. We will coat you in goat hide. You will feel nice and hairy like Esav. And we are going to send you into your father in Esav's stead." That instead of Esav receiving this bracha, you must receive this bracha. Yaakov is hesitant. How can he trick his father? Isn't his father going to discover him? He says, "Ulayim usheni avi, isn't my father going to touch me?" And that's when Rivka says, "Don't worry, you're going to feel like Esav. You're going to look like Esav," though Yitzchak couldn't see because Yitzchak's eyesight had deteriorated. And Rivka says, "Trust me, if you receive a curse instead of a bracha, I will take your curse." So Yaakov listens to the words of his mother. He goes out, he gets the goat, he brings it to his mother. His mother prepares it, and he brings it into his father. And that's when we arrive at this pasuk. Let's read it again. Vayigash Yaakov al Yitzchak. Yaakov approaches Yitzchak. Vayimishayhu. And before this, Yaakov has already spoken. But now Yaakov finally approaches his father. Vayimishayhu. And as he had anticipated, his father reaches out to feel him. Vayomer hakol kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, v'hayadayim yidei Esav. Yitzchak is stating that the voice is the voice of Yaakov, what he hears is Yaakov, however, what he feels is Esav. This is one of those quotes that comes up often when you are learning many, many areas throughout Tanakh. Often you'll look at a commentator and for some reason you will see brought up this pasuk, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. This is what we call a quotable quote. We see it all over. But my question is, what does this mean? What is Yitzchak really saying? And today we're going to delve into three approaches as to what Yitzchak is really saying in this pasuk. What does Yitzchak mean through this statement, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav? The first approach, we begin with Rashi. Rashi states on Bereishis Parak Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Bet, Kol Yaakov are the Dibur HaMachil, the second source on the sheet. Shemidaber b'lashon tachnunim, that he had spoken nicely, he had spoken pleasantly, kumna, that when Yaakov walked into the room, he said to his father, kumna, please rise, my father. Aval Esav, but if Esav were to have truly been the one who entered the room, kuntre daber yakumavi, he would have spoken harshly and said, get up, my father. That Yitzchak is stating that he knows that there is something that's not right here. That he knows that the way, the pleasant nature of the person who is speaking in the room does not match the personality of Esav. He says, I know this person. Esav has never said please in his life. He said, Yaakov, on the other hand, he speaks in a pleasant voice. He speaks nicely. He would come in and he would say to me, please rise, my father, whereas Esav would come in and yell. So Yitzchak is making a basic statement that something is awry here. That like that little child who is sneaking around the house and attempts to put on that squeaky high voice, Yitzchak recognizes that there is a discrepancy between who is meant to be in front of him and who is actually in front of him. This approach of Rashi, though, however, leaves us a little bit confused. Someone is okay with the fact that what is happening is happening. So either Yaakov is not so sold on this plan, and he doesn't really want to trick his father. Because if he really wanted to trick his father, he would have walked in and he would have made sure to speak like Esav. He knows what Esav is like. And if Yitzchak was so dead set on giving the bracha to Esav, he would have paused this whole thing here. He would have said, this is not Esav. If I want to give the bracha to Esav, I know that this person is not speaking like Esav, and therefore I know that there is a problem. The person who is in front of me is not who they say they are. So either Yaakov is really okay with being given away, and Yitzchak is okay with giving the bracha to Yaakov. Because if this is truly just a statement of what Yitzchak senses is happening in front of him, then there is a little feigned ignorance going on in this story. That Yitzchak wasn't really tricked. He recognized that the person in front of him was not truly Esav. That it's impossible that he thought, oh, Esav spontaneously became this pleasant, kind, well-mannered person. He knew there was something up, and Yaakov knew that his disguise was not very believable. So if this is the first approach is that Yitzchak is stating a confusion that is happening, that the person in front of him sounds like Yaakov, but feels like Esav. But if we're going to go with that approach, there are a few other things we have to believe as well. So that is our first approach. However, our second approach is actually one that I have never seen before, and I was really intrigued to learn, because I think that this insight, which is going to be the insight of the Beis HaLevi, this insight is going to shed light not only on this story, but is going to give us insight in the stories to come, specifically the story of Rachel and Leah, both ending up married to Yaakov. So let's read this insight of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayadayim yedei Esav. The hands are the voice is the voice of Yaakov, v'hayadayim yedei Esav, and the hands are the hands of Esav. V'lo hikiru v'ivarich oto. He didn't recognize him, and yet he still blessed him. So he's asking the question that we're asking on our previous approach, which is, Yitzchak knew that this wasn't the right person. So if he's saying, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayadayim yedei Esav, didn't he think that, like, if he didn't recognize the person, but yet he still blessed him, what's going on here? Lichora, yesh lahavin, it is possible to understand it. Kivan de ha-hakara shal ha-kol haya neged ha-hakara shal hayadayim. The person that he recognized through the voice was different than the person that he recognized through the hands. B'may ha-kriya shehu Esav v'barchu. So what was the deciding factor? How did Yitzchak use these two clues of Hakol Kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yedei Esav? How did he, who hechria, how did he make the final decision that this was Esav and proceed to give him the bracha? V'lule de mistafina haya afshar lomar, de hari Yitzchak harbei levadko. We can say, rather than saying that Yitzchak chose to be ignorant in this situation, that he chose to turn a blind eye to the fact that Yaakov was in front of him, rather, we can say that Yitzchak actually did a thorough investigation. What does that mean? Im hu be'emet Esav, oh hu be'mita'oto. He really did a full investigation into whether this was truly Esav or as to whether the person was trying to trick him. We can go back to the beginning of the story and we can say that not only did Yitzchak do a full investigation, but this was the exact situation that him and Esav had prepared for. That Esav had been fearful from the beginning that someone would try to trick his father. That Yaakov would try to come in and steal the bracha. V'kodem shehalach miYitzchak, and before Esav left Yitzchak originally after receiving his instructions, Amar la'aviv, he said to his father, Siman sheyodea shehu Esav, sheyeshaneh kolo b'kolo shel Yaakov. He said, the sign is going to be, Esav said this to his father, the sign that it is truly me in front of you is going to be if I speak in the manner of Yaakov. V'lidaber b'nachas ki Yaakov v'lahaskir shem shamayim v'zehu siman shehu Esav de'im yavo Yaakov l'hatot hare mistama yishaneshuhu kolo sheyidmel kekol Esav. So here is Esav's convoluted reasoning, which is very smart, actually. Esav says, if Yaakov is going to come before you, Abba, and he is going to try to convince you that he is me, he is going to come in and he is going to speak like Esav. He is going to be harsh. He is going to be brash. He is going to just come in and demand like I do. He is going to, of course, switch his voice because he knows that it wouldn't be believable if he came in and spoke how he usually would. And you're going to believe that it's really him, that it's really me. So he says, Abba, you know what I'm going to do? When I come back, I am going to speak like Yaakov. You are going to feel that it's me. You're going to feel that I feel like Esav, but I'm going to sound like Yaakov. I'm going to speak nicely, Abba. I'm going to use Shem Shamayim. I am going to bring Hashem into my speech. And you're going to know that when Kol Kol Yaakov, when the voice sounds like Yaakov, but the hands feel like Esav, you're going to know it's me, Abba. If someone comes in and they sound like me and they feel like me, know that it's my brother and he's trying to trick you. So, Hakol Kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yedei Esav hare shnei hasimanim matimim v'lo hikiru v'alkin v'yivarech oso. And therefore, when Yaakov came in and he was speaking like himself, but he felt like Esav, Yitzchak makes this statement of Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, v'hayadayim yedei Esav, the hands are the hands of Esav, and therefore I have my two simanim, the two signs that I am meant to look for, and therefore he proceeds and says, v'yivarech oso, and therefore he blessed him. V'yish lomar od, di Yaakov b'sichlo hivin gam et sod zeh. V'mishum zeh lo shina kolo v'diber kedarko. You can also go on and explain that it's possible that Yaakov understood this as well, that he understood that Esav would have understood that he wasn't, that he would switch his voice. And Yaakov didn't really want to trick his father. He wanted his father to be giving this bracha in full awareness. So he didn't switch his voice. But either way, I found this to be a fascinating Beis Halevi and a second approach that really adds a deeper level to this. Because again, if we go with the first approach, the basic approach of Rashi, we're left with a little bit of a taste that something's missing, that Yitzchak clearly recognized there was a problem and he seemingly chose to ignore it. However, this approach of the Beis Halevi, this second approach, tells us that the statement of Hakol Kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yedei Esav is not simply a statement of confusion, a statement of the discrepancy. Rather, Yitzchak is saying, I have now found my two signs. This is a statement of discovery of the two signs that he is meant to look for in order to guarantee that this is Esav in front of him. So it's not possibly that Yitzchak really had this awareness that he was giving the bracha to Yaakov. He wasn't truly tricked. This was really part of the plan. Rather, this is our back to our typical understanding, which is that Yitzchak genuinely believed that Esav was in front of him, even though he heard the voice of Yaakov. Now, when I said I believe that this casts light on our future stories, fast forward to when Yaakov goes to find a wife. And how is he tricked? He's tricked through the simanim as well. That one can say there is always an element of mida kenegan mida for everything that happens in the world. And there is a debate whether Yaakov did the right thing by tricking his father. Was he meant to do it this way? But this idea that when it comes to his marriage, There are signs that him and Rachel establish, and those signs are given away to Leah so that Leah can marry Yaakov instead of Rachel. So it's interesting to see that Yaakov acquired this bracha through this trickery, that there was this idea of signs that were seemingly found, but truly weren't there, in the same way that Leah was able to provide the signs that she was Rachel, even though she was not truly Rachel. And I believe that this links the story together in a very interesting way. I don't have a well-developed, coherent idea of what that means for us, but I just found it very interesting that there is this parallel of the signs that are used and the signs that are used on both bookends of the story. So now if we go on to our third approach, this gives us a yet deeper idea of what is going on here in the story. Let's remember our context. The context of our story is that Yitzchak is blessing his children. He ends up blessing both children, but Yitzchak is out to bless Esav. He is planning, now that he is at the end of his life, he wants to give over what he plans to pass on to his children. So everything that Yitzchak says seemingly has significance. And in the Torah, we pull apart every word and the significance in every word, but specifically when there are brachos being relayed, we pay close attention to every single word to see what the true intention and the true message that is being given over is. So if we look at Bereishis Rabbah, which is commenting on our Pasuk, HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadayim Yedei Esav. So the Bereishis Rabbah, the Midrash tells us, HaKol Kol Yaakov, Ein Yaakov Sholeit Ela Bekolo. Yaakov's strength is in his voice. HaKol Kol Yaakov V'hayadayim Yedei Esav. The hands are the hands of Esav. Ein Esav Sholeit Ela B'yadayim. Esav rules only exclusively in his hands. So we have two strengths, two kohos. We have Yaakov, whose strength is in his voice, and we have Esav, whose strength is in his hands. What does that mean? The Midrash continues. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, Lo amdu philosophim ba'olam kevilam ben ba'or v'ke'avin nomos hagiradi. There were no greater philosophers in the world than Bilam ben Ba'or, Bilam, who we meet later on in the Torah, v'ke'avin nomos hagiradi, and Avinomos. Nikansu kolo de kochavim itzlo. All of the nations of the world would come to them. Amrulo. And then they would say to him, Tomar sha'anu yicholin lizaveg l'umazu. What can we do about these Jewish people? How do we get rid of these people? Amar lichu v'chazru abatei kinesio. So these two philosophers of the nations of the world say to the nations, they say, go back to where you are and go look at their batei midrasho, their batei kinesio. Go look at their places of prayer, their places of study. V'im matatem sham tinokot mitaftepim mikolan. If there, in their batei kinesiot, in their prayer houses, in their batei midrashot, in their houses of learning, you find them there. You find that there are children there who are learning and praying. You have no chance. You are not going to be able to take them down. Because this is what their father promised them and said, Hakol kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. Bizman shekolo shel Yaakov matzoy bebatei kinesio, at the time when the voice of Yaakov is found in the batei kinesio, in the houses of prayer, in hayadayim yedei Esav, then the inverse, the hands of Esav will not be able to be successful. Ve'imlav, however, if not, hayadayim yedei Esav, the hands of Esav are the ones that will be strong. Ve'atem yecholim lahem. So if you go to their batei midrashon and their batei kinesio, and there you see that there are Jewish children who are learning, who are praying to God, you are never going to be successful against the Jewish people, because HaKol Kol Yaakov V'Hayadayim Yedei Esav, when they are strong in their kol, in their voice, you will not have a chance with your Yadayim. You will not be able to capture them. However, when they are not strong in their voice, when they are not using their Koach HaTorah, their Koach HaTfilah, then Yadayim Yedei Esav, then you will be able to capture them. You will be able to be successful against them. The Midrash Tanchuma takes this one step further. Miyad amar lahem, HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadayim Yedei Esav, Kochich Kashem Yishalo. Yitzchak said to Esav, you should know, Esav, when I made this statement of HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadayim Yedei Esav, know that his strength is greater than yours. Esav, im tofes et Adam, harei hu biyado. Esav, what happens when you catch a person? Let's say you're out hunting and you catch a person. Because we know that Esav was known not only as an ish tzayid for animals, but he was also a murderer. He was one who killed. You say he hunted people. V'im tofes et Adam, harei hu biyado. If you catch a person, you are now holding on to him. V'im hu borayach, however, if he runs away, you have no rule over him. If you catch something and it runs away, and we're only simply talking about the realm of physicality, then when you are no longer holding on to the person, you have no rulership over them. Avalata, but Yaakov, afilu adam boreach misof haolam, even if a person runs to the opposite end of the world, hakol kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. Ata omer davar b'beit Knesset, you can say something in the Beit Knesset, v'harehu ba me'atzmo, and whatever you spoke about will come to be in and of itself. So the two midrashim here are pointing out something to us, that this statement of hakol kol Yaakov hayadayim yedei Esav is part of the entire parsha of the brachot. That Yitzchak is not just making a statement about what he feels or hears in front of him, rather he is prophesizing for the future about what is going to be with Yaakov and what is going to be with Esav. He is not simply talking about physical characteristics of the sound of one's voice or the way one speaks and the way that one feels. Rather, he is talking about two inherent kochos, two strengths that are going to be inherent to the nation of Yaakov and the nation of Esav from then onwards. And Yitzchak seems to lay it out as this seemingly seesaw effect. Where do we see this established? Further on in the brachos in Bereishis Chaf Zayin, when Esav comes back, he returns from the field and he realizes what has happened. And he screams, Sa'aka Gedola. Esav is so upset. He wails. He screams, Abba, there must be a bracha that you can still give me. And Yitzchak says, I've given the brachos to your brother. But Esav says, please, Abba. So Yitzchak then gives Esav a bracha as well. And within his bracha, he says, Ve'al charbacha techia, Esav, you are going to live on your sword. Ve'et achicha ta'avod, and you will be the one to serve your brother. Ve'hayak ha'asher tarid ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. However, when he is preoccupied, ufarakta ulo, you will be able to throw off his yoke me'al tzavarecha, from upon your neck. Rashi explains here, what does this mean? Tarid lashon tsa'ar, kimo arid besichi, kilomar, kishe'avru Yisrael al Torah, vihiyelecha pitchon pelit sa'er al habrechot shanatal. Yes, Esav, I gave Yaakov all of those brachos, but there will come a time when B'nai Yisrael will become distracted. They will be turned from their original mission. They will no longer be paying close enough attention to what they are meant to be doing. They will not be fully engaging with their power of kol, with their ability to use their voice, their way to call out to Hashem. V'hiya pitchom pen, this will allow you a little inroads. Lihitza'er al haberchot shanatal. You will be able to overcome the brachos that they were given. Ufarakta olo v'gomer. And you will be able to cast off the yoke from upon you. You will no longer have to serve your brother. And this is what establishes this eternal seesaw, which is one of when Yaakov is engaging with his power of kol, when B'nai Yisrael are doing as Hashem wants from them, they are davening and they are learning Torah, and we are utilizing our inherent koach, our power of kol, the power of our voices, then we will be the ones subjugating Esav. We will be high while Esav will be low. However, if we falter and we are no longer engaging in our power of kol, in the power of using our voices, that is when the seesaw will reverse and Esav will be able to rise up over us. That Esav will be able to then use their koach hayadayim. They will be able to physically take us down. They will be able to capture us. They will be able to put us down. They will be able to harm us because we are not engaging in our kol. They are then able to engage in their yadayim. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, again, explains this, but using a very interesting addition to this imagery that we've created. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and with this, we will conclude. Amar Yitzchak, Hakol Kol Yaakov B'Yichud Hashem. What is the use of Hakol Kol Yaakov when we declare Yichud Hashem, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that is using our kol appropriately. When we declare to the world Yichud Hashem, when we declare monotheism and the values in which we believe, Hakol Kol Yaakov B'Higayon HaTorah. When else do we utilize our kol? When we are engaging in Torah, when we are debating in Torah, when we are learning Torah, when we are teaching Torah. V'hayadayim yedei Esav, what is yedayim yedei Esav? B'chol shvichot damim u'b'chol motra. Yedayim yedei Esav is murder, is evil, is the negative ways of Esav. V'lo ot ela kishemaz kirim b'shamayim hakol kol Yaakov. When the voice of Yaakov rings out in Shamayim, Hashamayim Roashim, the heavens shake, it's so powerful. V'kishemaskirim ba'aretz hakol kol Yaakov. And when we remind us down on earth, hakol kol Yaakov, kol mishahu shomea ve'osech halkoim hakol kol Yaakov, we are reminded that everyone who engages properly with hakol kol Yaakov, v'kol mishaino shomea ve'ino osech halkoim am hayadayim yedei Esav, will then falter and will fall to yadayim yedei Esav. So this third approach goes beyond the situation and the circumstance that we are reading about in the text. Rather, this third approach, this midrashic approach, takes the statement that Yitzchak is making as already part and parcel of the brachot and the prophecy that he is giving over to his children. That there is a certain ruach hakodesh here of what will happen in the future. That this is not talking about the physical characteristics of Yaakov and Esav. Rather, it is talking about their strengths that will be their signatures throughout the generation. And it is laying out a dichotomy that exists in the world until today, that we know this to be true, that when we are thriving, we are committed to what Hashem wants from us. We see later on in the Torah, and it leads us up until today, that when we are serving Hashem properly, we are rewarded accordingly. We thrive, we prosper. However, when we are not following in the ways of Hashem, our enemies have much more strength over us. That when we don't utilize what makes us unique, our enemies then have a greater kalach over us. So again, just to recap, our three approaches. The first approach was Hakol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim Yedei Esav. This is a statement of Yitzchak's confusion, who in fact is standing in front of him. My Esav does not speak in that way. He does not speak pleasantly. It wasn't even the sound of his voice. It was the way in which he was speaking. This does not make sense. This cannot truly be Esav. But as we commented there, if you are going with that approach, then we must understand that Yitzchak was either okay with giving Yaakov the bracha, or Yaakov was really okay with his father knowing that he was not truly Esav and possibly not giving him the bracha. So we have the first approach. This is simply a state of confusion that Yitzchak is expressing, the discrepancy that he sees in front of him. The second approach is that Yitzchak is not expressing a confusion. Rather, he is expressing his reassurance that he has now found the two signs that Esav gave over to him in order to know that it was in fact Esav in front of him. We know that these signs were faulty, that he did not truly find what he was looking for, but Yitzchak is expressing that he found the two signs, the two-point verification that this was in fact Esav in front of him. And the third approach is the one that took us one step further. This was the approach that taught us that we are not talking about just the circumstance in front of us, not just the episode of the giving of the brachos, but rather we are talking about a prophecy from Yitzchak that carries us for the generations, that Yitzchak was explaining to Yaakov or Esav, whoever he thought was in front of him, the strengths of the two brothers. And these are kolchos that we hold on to and we utilize until today, and that we recognize and we see play out over and over again in the world. Shehakol kol Yaakov, that the voice, our power of tefillah, our power of Torah learning, is what gives us our strength, is what protects us against our enemies. And if we falter, then Esav excels in his strength. Of the Yadayim Yedei Esav, he is able to overcome us. Our enemies are able to take us down. So I think with this understanding, we can understand this story from three very different approaches. Was Yitzchak truly confused? Was Yitzchak 100% certain of what's in front of him? But with the third approach, it takes us even beyond this story, beyond what we see in front of us, who truly was in front of Yitzchak, what really happened there, to a bracha that regardless of who is standing in front of Yitzchak, helps us and informs us and educates us as to how we should be, how we should follow Hashem until today.